Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Hallelujah, 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 holy forever. Your name is highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. The angels cry holy. All creations cry holy. Holy forever. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. of your host, The Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. We would encourage you to call your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. And for those of my brothers and sisters who are on the other side of the world, they're just getting up, but you have an opportunity to send us a message or call us, and you could send the message to the church, WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. That email, once again, is WTLTabernacle@gmail.com, or the phone number to the pastor's cell is 772-626-3178. You call me after 8 o'clock. That number again is 772-626-3178. Or you could leave a message in the chat room. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, you could call us at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Let me give you a little disclaimer and a little itinerary of the church. The disclaimer is that the songs that we play on this radio do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the host, The Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing it. Like this song here is sung by Chris Tomlin. Glory be to the Lord. And we praise God and for those producers who produced it. However, because we bought the original CDs and DVDs, and in them we have permission to use the songs. Glory be to the Lord. A little bit itinerary of the church, that is that every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible mystery. And if you get it right, you will receive a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet from the church. And it's going to be free. And the title of it is The Tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, the symbolism that points to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. And don't forget, the tabernacle was also called the Tent of Meetings. And this was in the wilderness. And when the cloud by day moved, they would take the tent down and they'll follow the cloud. When the clouds stop, they will rebuild that temple and continue their services. Glory be to the Lord. And I would encourage you, you keep one in your Bible. So if you go somewhere and you're waiting to be called upon, you could take out your tabernacle pamphlet there and study the tabernacle and learn what the colors mean, what the instruments mean, what the furnishings mean. Everything points to Jesus. Glory be to the Lord. On Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, we have our intercessory prayer time from 7 to 8. You call the number, you join us, and you will be given several of our subjects to pray for. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. On Thursdays, like tonight at 7 p.m., we have our Bible study. The main topic is, what's next? What's next? What do we expect? We, as born-again Christians, we have an immediate expectation that Christ is returning for his church, going to call us up to the clouds, and we're going to be changed. Those who have gone before us, God will bring with them, and then we'll be caught up, harpazo, rapture, into the clouds, and we'll be changed and receive a glorified body, and we'll be with Christ. Hallelujah. And those that are not raptured up are going to be left behind to deal with the tribulation and the Antichrist. And I behoove you, because we know the terror of the Lord, that you repent of your sins, cry out to God, and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you shall receive the gift of eternal life. Glory be to the Lord. In While we are studying what's next, we've been talking about the marriage feast of the Lamb. We talked about the betrothal, the presentation. Today, we're going to talk about the celebration. Glory be to the Lord. That's the third part. And then next week, we'll start the return of Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, to the Mount of Olives. We're going to study that a little bit and see whether that takes us. Glory be to the Lord. So we're talking about the marriage of the Lamb, part three, the celebration. First of all, think about celebration. What does it mean to you? You know, when do you celebrate? Here we're talking about a marriage feast. So think about the celebration at the marriage feast. There's the bride is dressed up in a beautiful garment. The bridesmaid and her party are all dressed up beautiful. The bridegroom, he's dressed up in a nice suit as well. And the best man and his party is all dressed up too. And they're presented there at the altar with for the marriage celebration, for the marriage feast. Glory be to the Lord. So think about the celebration. What comes after the celebration? Being married myself, we know that immediately after the marriage, there is a celebration. There's eating, drinking, and we're not a hardcore liquor. We're drinking punch and sodas and water, you know. But we're celebrating what just occurred, the marriage. And we're having a fun time and the things that happens at the wedding that doesn't happen nowhere else. And we have dances and it's a beautiful time in the Lord when you marry someone who's also loving the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read a little something. Then we go into the scriptures. It says, after the private marriage service was completed. So we know that the marriage, you know, everybody's on the altar. The family's on one side. The other family's on the other side. The family of the bridegroom, the family of the bride, and everybody joyful and exuberant and excited about what's happening. They're at the altar and they're exchanging vows. They're exchanging rings. You know, they're having a good time. Whoever's leading the ceremony, the pastor there is speaking. My wife and I, when we got married, we chose white garments with the red highlights. So she had a beautiful red tassel in her waist that went all around, and I had a red tie. And we chose those colors because white talks about purity, and red talks about the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And the apostles that married us spoke on the colors that we chose and what it meant to us and what it meant at the wedding. It was very interesting for those people that were there who were not born again Christians. So after the private marriage service was completed, the public marriage supper will begin. So that's what happens. There is a supper immediately after the marriage, something's the celebration. Many guests will be invited to this celebration. It was during such a supper that Jesus performed his first miracle. And we read that in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Let's read that so we have an idea what's going on. The Gospel of John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and I'm reading from the Pastor Study Bible, and it's the King James Version. Glory be to the Lord. And the Word of God says, and on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with you? My time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And six stone water pots were placed there, according to the custom of the Jewish purification, containing 120 liters each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water that he had been made, that had been made wine, and not knowing from where it came, but the servants who drew the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone at first sets out the good wine and the inferior wine after men are intoxicated, but you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believe in him. Glory be to the Lord. So this is where Jesus went to a wedding. He was invited with the disciples, and his mother was there, and they had a beautiful time at the celebration. But there came a period of time where there was no more wine, and his mother came to Jesus and told him what had happened. It wasn't the time for Jesus to be revealed, but his mother pressed on him, and he had them fill the water pots to the brim, and he prayed over it, and the water became wine, so much so that when the master of the wedding tasted the wine, best one he ever tasted. Glory be to the Lord. And this was done by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to go to verse 35. And we're going to read what it says there. So, and see what the word of God tells us. Jesus later made reference to the third step when he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. Let's read Luke 12, 35 to 37. It says, glory be to the Lord. Let your waist be belted and your lamps burning, and you yourself be like men who wait for their master to return from the wedding, so that when he comes and knocks, they may immediately open the door to him. When the master comes, blessed are those servants whom he will find watching. Truly, I say to you, he will fasten his belt, have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Glory. And if he comes and in the second watch or in the third watch and finds them like that, blessed are those servants. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And understanding this, if the house owner had known what time the thief would come, he would have watched and not let his house be broken in. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 22 and beginning at verse 2, and we're going to see what the scripture says regarding that issue. And the word of God says, and verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and he sent out his servants to call those who had been invited to the wedding, but they will not come. Glory be to the Lord. You know, when you read Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, it says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to start at verse 16 and see what it says there. And it says, glory be to the Lord. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who have been invited, come, for everything is ready now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When does the wedding transpire? It would seem that the wedding service, the presentation stage, will be privately conducted in heaven. Perhaps shortly after the Bema's judgment seat of Christ, the wedding supper the celebration stage will be publicly conducted on earth shortly after the second coming of Christ. And we're going to be looking at the second coming of Christ next week. It is no accident that the Bible describes the millennium as occurring right after the celebration supper has begun. Revelations 19 and 20, and I would encourage you to read those two chapters. Glory be to the Lord. In the New Testament times, the length and cost of the supper was determined by the wealth of the father. Therefore, when his beloved son is married, the father of all grace, whose wealth is unlimited, will give his son and the bride a celebration that will last 1,000 years. Hallelujah. The marriage supper involves Israel on earth and his age, and is a parabolic picture of the entire millennium age to which Israel will be invited during the tribulation period. This wedding will be totally different from all other earthly weddings. First, in an earthly wedding, there can be a last-minute refusal on the part of either the bride or the groom. But this cannot happen with the heavenly marriage. The bridegroom has already expressed his great love for his bride. So let's look at that. It's in Ephesians, and it's going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of God says in verse 25, husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so that's what happens. The husband loves the wife so much that he's going to give himself for her. He's not going to let her escape. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And he never changes. We go to Hebrews 13:8. And we're going to read about him never changing. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God says, Hebrews 13:8, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory. He would never change. He called us to the wedding feast. He invited us to the wedding feast. He would not change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And by this time, the heavenly bride has already been glorified and is sinless and therefore cannot be tempted into changing her mind or losing her love for the bridegroom. Let's go to Ephesians 5:27 and see what the bride does. Ephesians 5:27, the word of God says, hallelujah, that he might present it to himself, talking about the bride, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews 10:14 and see what it says about the bride. Hallelujah. 10:14. The word of God says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Hallelujah. So the Lord has sanctified us in himself. And so, you know, we are called to the marriage of the feast of the bride. And none of that is going to ever happen. None of that would ever cause her to leave her first love. If you remember Ephesians, one of the admonitions there that the Lord told Ephesians church was they lost their first love. But this bride is not going to lose her love for the master. Second, in an earthly wedding, a serious legal problem might arise, such as a lack of age or even a previous marriage, but not in the heavenly wedding. In Romans, let's go to Romans. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8 and beginning at verse 33. Hallelujah. 33 through 39, the word of God says, Who shall bring any charge against God's chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Christ is the one who died, and beyond that, who was raised again, and who is at the right hand of God, who also is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing will separate us. In an early wedding, this tragedy of death might intervene, but not in the heavenly wedding. The bride will never die, and nor will the bridegroom. So let's go to John. Hallelujah. We're going to go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 26, and see what it says there. Hallelujah. 26. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And we believe in Christ Jesus. So we're not going to die. The body's going to go to the grave where it belongs to become to dust. But our soul and spirit will be in heaven with the Lord in paradise forever and ever. And then we're going to go to Revelations. Hallelujah. 1 and 18. 1 and 18, talking about the bridegroom. Thank you, Jesus. It says, I am he who lives. I was dead, and look, I'm alive forever and ever. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. So that's the celebration, my brothers and sisters, of the things of God, of the wedding of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any questions or comments or testimonies, you can call us at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Next week, we're going to be talking about the return of Christ to Mount Olives on earth. The return of Christ. And we're going to be looking at several of the scriptures that we have there. It's going to help us out. You could study Zechariah 2, Zechariah 14, and Revelation 19 if you like. That'll help you out to understand the second coming of Christ. And so here is the celebration of the wedding feast of the Lamb. I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to look at, you should get it and have it in your study. It's called, it's a CD movie. It's called The Day Before the Wrath. It's a Galilean wedding. It opened up my eyes because I thought for a second Christ was doing a regular Jewish wedding. But in reality, this was a Galilean wedding. And the Galilean wedding is different than a regular Jewish wedding. And you know, there's a lot of things that occur. You know, they'll meet by the gate. The father of the bridegroom presents a contract to the father of the bride. And the son presents the bride a cup of wine, and they are to drink from it. If she drinks from it, it means that she's accepting the offer. If she doesn't drink from the cup, then she doesn't accept it. So it's a type of the supper of the Lamb. If you remember, after supper was done with, And after he broke the bread and he gave it and he said, this is my body, this is broken for you. After supper was ending, he took the cup and he prayed for it. He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples. And he told them, I'm drinking new in my Father's kingdom. And that's the cup that the bridegroom drank and the bride. Now, you might say, but wait a minute, Brother Ramos, the bride, which is us, we drank of the cup, but Jesus hasn't drank from the cup. No, he hasn't drank from the cup yet because we're not married yet. We're engaged. But the cup that Jesus drank of was his crucifixion. You know, that's why when one of the disciples reflected that he wanted to follow Jesus, Jesus asked him a question, could you drink the cup that I drink? And, you know, the same death, the same type of death. We know from the Book of Martyrs that Peter was crucified upside down because of his choice. He didn't want to be crucified the way his master was crucified, up. So he chose down. And a lot of people use that downward cross, and is the way they use it now, it means a lot of satanic stuff. But Jesus drank of that cup, and he's just going to consummate that marriage with the drinking of the cup in heaven and earth when he does a 1,000 years millennium. Glory be to the Lamb. And then the bridegroom presents beautiful gifts to the bride, beautiful gifts. And if you remember Eliezer, when he went to get a wife for Jacob, not for Jacob, for Isaac, he brought with him 9 camels full of prize, full of gifts to the wife. Hallelujah. 9 gifts. And we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, the first one being love. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. When that happens and she accepts, she drinks from the cup, she accepts the gifts, they're separated. They don't date. They don't go out as engaged couples. They're separated for a year. She goes and she starts looking for her bride's dress, and, you know, to make sure that it's spotless and without no wrinkle, and make sure that it's clean. And every day she has it on because she doesn't know when the bridegroom is coming for her. The bridegroom, in the meantime, goes to his father's house, and he begins to build a room, an extension to the house. And only the father knows when he's going to send the son, when he tells him, go get your bride now. You know, the son could put some stuff together, and it's not the way the father envisions it. And the bridegroom goes to the father to get permission to get his bride. And the father said, no, you're not done. This is not right. This is not the way that it should be done. And the bridegroom has to finish the room that the bride is coming to, because that's where they're going to consummate their marriage. And they're going to be there for 7 days. Hallelujah. And so is when we get raptured up. We're going to be with the Lord 7 years. So in studying Hebrew literature, we understand we could have 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, or 7 years. And we have to understand what are they talking about. Here is 7 days. If you read the book of Isaiah, it says, come in and close the door until the indignation is past. And you remember Jesus gave a parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They all fell asleep. But when the trumpet sounded and the voice sounded that the bridegroom was coming at midnight, the 5 wise virgins got up. They got themselves ready. The 5 foolish virgins got up, but they had no oil in their lamps. And they wanted the 5 wise virgins to share the oil that was in the lamps. And the 5 wise virgins said, no, it's not going to be enough. Go out. They said to the 5 foolish virgins, go out and buy some and then come. Well, by the time they went and got some oil, the bridegroom came and the bride went in and they closed the door. And the five foolish virgins came, knocked on the door, but it was too late. And so don't let it be you who are knocking on God's door and it's too late. Don't let it be you that says, oh, the Christians are right. Don't let it be you and find yourself left behind because you didn't want to believe by faith. It's all by faith, my brothers and sisters. It's all by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We haven't seen the rapture, but we know it's there. It's there in the written scriptures. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, you're going to read about the rapture. And you're going to read about how God, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. So, you know, some people don't believe in the rapture because they don't find the word in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. Yet we believe the concept. We believe the theories behind it. Same thing with the rapture. Glory. If you look at the Latin Vulgate, the word rapture in the Latin Vulgate is there, rapismo. And it means caught up. In the Greek, harpazo, caught up by force. And that's the way Christ is. He's going to catch us up by force through the first and second heaven. And then he's going to take us to his Father's house. And he says, so where he's at, we may be also. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, if you want to call us here on Blog Talk Radio, question, comments, or testimonies, you could call 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. For those of you on the other side of the world, where it's daytime now, if you want to send a message after you hear the archives, you could send a message to the church, WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Or you could call the pastor after 8 o'clock tonight, 772-626-3178. 772-626-3178. Hallelujah. Next week, we're going to be talking about the second coming of Christ. He's going to be coming to the earth. He's going to be coming to rescue Israel. The one-third of Israel will be in Petra, and Christ will come to rescue them and save them. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because all the kings of the east and all the kings of the enemies of Israel will be gathered together in Megiddo. And they're going to come and fight in Jerusalem because they want to take Jerusalem. And two-thirds of Jerusalem will be destroyed. The one-third of Jerusalem, Israel, will be saved. They go to Petra. They run to Petra, to the mountains, to be hidden there. And Christ will save them there. And then Christ will defeat the enemy with the breath of his mouth, set up the thousand-year reign, millennium, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And after 1,000 years, Satan will be loose again because he's going to be caught and chained up for 1,000 years by the angel. But after 1,000 years, he'll be loose again. There's many people that are still against Jesus Christ. And there's going to be the enemy will be caught, sent into the lake of fire with everyone who has taken the mark of the beast to the lake of fire. And there'll be a great white throne judgment. The dead who are not in Christ will rise up. Jesus will resurrect them. And they will go to the judgment seat. And in the judgment seat or the great white throne, they're going to be judged for the acts and the words that they said. Their names will not be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, they would have been gone up in the rapture. And once that's done, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire with the devil, Satan, Antichrist, false prophet, false Messiah. All that is going to be there in the lake of fire. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's the second coming of Christ. That happens after the marriage feast of the Lamb. He's going to come to the earth with his army. The army is the born-again Christians and the angels of heaven. But we're coming to war, but we will not have to lift up a hand for war, because the Bible says he will destroy his enemies with the breath of his mouth. And he will tell those birds to come and feast on the bodies of all of them who lay dead in the grounds. And there's going to be so much death, so much blood. The Bible says that the blood will come up to the bridle of the horse. And it's going to take Israel 7 years to bury the dead. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And they're going to take the weapons and plow them into work shears. They're going to work in the farms. And, you know, there's no longer going to be war. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to continue waiting upon the Lord. We're going to pray, and we're going to listen to his song that we have here, and we're going to continue anointing fall on us. Thank you, Jesus. And as we continue to pray and learning about the celebration of the bridegroom and the bride in the wedding feast of the Lamb, we want to thank God that he sustained us and he held us up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got about 17 minutes to go. And if you have a question, comment, or testimony, you can call us at Block Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't forget, next week we're going to talk about the second coming of Christ to Mount Olivet on the earth. Hallelujah. You can read up Zechariah 2. You can read up Zechariah 14. You can read up Revelation 19. Hallelujah. The second return of Christ. He came once as a sovereign servant. He's going to come this time as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. At this time, don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday at 7 p.m. for the Bible mystery. The question is, why did Miriam become a leprous? Glory be to the Lord. So we pray. We're going to continue to hold you up in prayer as we continue. And as always, we say, until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.